Luke chapter 2, verse 21. 8 days after his birth, the baby, Jesus, was circumcised in keeping with Jewish religious requirements, and he was named Jesus, the name the messenger had given him before his conception in Mary's womb. After Mary had observed the ceremonial days of purification required by Mosaic law, she and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They were fulfilling the Lord's requirement that every firstborn Israelite male will be dedicated to the Eternal One as holy. They will be offered the sacrifice required by the law of the Lord, 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. While fulfilling these sacred obligations at the temple, they encountered a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a just and pious man, anticipating the liberation of Israel from her troubles. He was a man in touch with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's anointed one. The Spirit had led him to the temple that day, and there he saw the child Jesus in the arms of his parents, who were fulfilling their sacred obligations. Simeon took Jesus into his arms and blessed God. "Now, Lord and King, you can let me, your humble servant, die in peace. You promised me that I would see with my own eyes what I'm seeing now, your freedom. Raised up in the presence of all peoples, he is the light who reveals your message to the other nations, and he is the shining glory of your covenant people, Israel." His father and mother were stunned to hear Simeon say these things. Simeon went on to bless them both, and to Mary in particular he gave predictions. "Listen," he said, "this child will make many in Israel rise and fall. He will be a significant person whom many will oppose. In the end, he will lay bare the secret thoughts of many hearts, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, Mary." At that very moment, an elderly woman named Anna stepped forward. Anna was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for 7 years before her husband died, and a widow to her current age of 84 years. She was deeply devoted to the Lord, constantly in the temple, praying and fasting. When she approached Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, she began speaking out praise and thanks to God, and she continued spreading the word about Jesus to all those who shared her hope for the rescue of Jerusalem. After fulfilling their sacred duties according to the law of the Lord, Mary and Joseph returned with Jesus to their own city of Nazareth in the province of Galilee. There Jesus grew up, maturing in physical strength and increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God rested on him. There's been quite a lot on Facebook over the last week or two about people not knowing what day of the week it is, because every day feels like a Sunday, apparently. I think this is meant to reflect that for many, the 10 days off taken between Christmas and New Year, and so all the days kind of blend into one long meal of eating cheese and turkey sandwiches. Not cheese and turkey sandwiches, because that would be odd, but cheese and turkey sandwiches. And so it's difficult to know where one day ends and another begins, especially when the usual rhythms of life are interrupted. Even for something as good as Christmas, it's good disruption. The traditional church rhythm of reading scripture often brings in Jesus being presented at the temple at this time of year. Mary and Joseph, as good, faithful Jewish believers, are doing what the law instructs them to do, to have the baby circumcised and to have him presented. I didn't find much at all about what this presentation consisted of when I was doing my research. And my mind kept wandering back to how Hannah in the Old Testament promised God that if she had a son, she would offer him back to God. After she had miraculously given birth, and following his weaning, a sacrifice of a bull, some flour and some wine was made. After this, the little boy was offered to the priest Eli for use as a servant in the house of God. sacrifice. It's a religious kind of a word in many ways, but it also suggests that whatever we are sacrificing, whatever we offer, we take seriously. As Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple for purification and for a ritual of presenting him to God, they brought a pair of turtle doves, as according to the 12 days of Christmas, but no partridge in a pear tree. This public offering of their son was a meaningful ritual. It wasn't something just to go through the motions for. As part of the wider Jewish community, they wanted to present their son to God. We sacrifice together as community, like a big spiritual group hug. Although we don't offer animals or birds to be burnt, our sacrifice is firstly to ourselves, offer ourselves to God. But we also submit to one another. We seek what is best for the other, putting one another before ourselves. This is koinonia, this is community, this is fellowship. Just as Mary and Joseph wanted their community to share in the blessing of a new son, so we want our community to share in the blessing of God and Main Street Community Church. Part of that blessing is to ensure that we are right with one another, that we commit to our unity and our friendship and our united faith in Christ. This is in our DNA at Main Street, and we welcome everyone. At the beginning of this year, it seems appropriate and timely to remember the sacrifices that Mary and Joseph made for God to work in them. They agreed to join with God in the Immaculate Conception, in the virgin birth, in the flight to Egypt, in the safekeeping of the boy child Jesus, because the promise was that he was the Messiah. The unbelievable gift of the liberator from God, who had not just saved the Jewish people from their captors, the Romans, but for the whole world. And as we remember the sacrifice of giving up a normal life to wholly serve the God they worshipped, perhaps at the start of 2020, we offer ourselves afresh to the work of God in this place. This is why our act of communion was a little different this morning. The act of partaking in the bread and the wine enabled us to act, to come forward, to receive the elements. Those who received an anointing of olive oil is a biblical ritual of blessing, of unity, of healing, of God's oneness with his beloved creation. And so our service today has been full of poignant ritual, because ritual and sacrifice are part of the rhythm of our spirituality, whether or not we notice these things. God doesn't need sacrifice or ritual of stuff. He wants our hearts. And sometimes a collective action as part of a community of faith reminds us of our commitment to God, to what we believe, to whom we are committed. And so these rituals are sacred. As I was preparing this message, I remember Scylla's daughter Laura gave me a copy of the Street Bible by Rob Lacey. Scylla had often mentioned it, and Laura felt that I should have it. It's a summary of scripture together with some mini commentary by the author to keep the message of the Bible very readable as a whole story. This is what it said of the presentation of Jesus. It's entitled Great Uncle Simeon. 8 days after the birth of Jesus, the Davidson family, clever, eh? Joseph is a son of David, So Rob Lacey calls the Holy Family the Davidsons. Clever, I thought so. The Davidson family sort out the religious and legal side of things at Jerusalem HQ, the temple. God's Holy Spirit directs an old guy, Simeon, to be there at the same time. He holds the baby and says, "You're in charge, God. You told me I'd see him, and here I am, cuddling that bundle of wonder. Bury me, I'm a happy old man. I've seen your liberator, the eye-opener of outsiders, the pride and joy of the Jews. I'm happy now. Take me now." Just as Hannah had given her baby Samuel to the work of God, so Simeon now offers himself back to God, because God had fulfilled his promise to Simeon. Similarly, the prophetess Anna, who's 84 years old or young, saw the importance of the newly presented holy child. And although she stayed within the temple grounds day and night, she seems to have had the ear of the people. And so when she had seen Jesus, she could tell them that this baby was the one Israel had been waiting for, the patient hope for which both she and Simeon had waited was finally now coming true. And so now, by the end of the first two chapters of Luke's account of Jesus, almost all of his readers will have found someone in the story with whom they could identify. An older couple, Elizabeth and Zechariah, surprised to have a child in their retirement. The young girl, Mary, surprised to have a child so soon. Her husband, Joseph, now offering the specified sacrifice, but willing to take on the mantle of preparing the son, preparing and parenting the Son of God. And now we have an older man and an older woman, according to Tom Wright, waiting their turn to die, worshipping God day and night, and in praying for the salvation of his people. Luke wants to draw readers of every age and stage of life into this picture. No matter who you are, the story of Jesus from the manger in Bethlehem to the empty tomb and beyond can become your story. Jesus grew in wisdom and in strength, gaining favour with God and people. And so must we. Our commitment must be to our faith, our understanding not just of who Jesus was in the Bible, but who he is in our lives and our actions today, to one another in fellowship, beyond into our lives, our workplaces, our families, our social groups, our homes. Jesus, his life, his example, his death and resurrection is the new covenant which he speaks of at the Last Supper. We are now part of that new covenant, that new promise. Jesus is our brother, our saviour, our friend. He invites us to live our part today. And I know that we come from all different spiritual backgrounds. I was brought up in a Baptist church. Others here will be from different Christian traditions or of none. None of this makes a difference, really, as we sit here together. We are one in Christ. He draws us together. Together we are Main Street Community Church. Without you and without one another, we are weaker and we are not complete. We need one another. We need strength in friendship and faith. I wonder what makes you belong here. Because belonging to a family, a community, is really important. What makes you remain here as part of our fellowship? Whatever it is, that's commitment. That's part of your relationship with God and to one another, part of our community. I guess we are all here because we know that God has us in this place for his own purposes and his own reasons. It's a place where you are always welcome. I would venture that you don't even have to believe to belong here, but believing God enhances the depths of our being together. Everyone's welcome. Belonging is such an important thing in a world where people today don't always feel their part, especially perhaps when there's discord or breakdown of one relationship or another. But if you are here, then maybe you do belong here. And hopefully your belonging might encourage you to believe a little, or maybe a lot. And perhaps because of the influence of the people you meet here and share your life with here, then perhaps your outlook on life has or will change to become more like that of the way of Jesus. And that's all Jesus really wants, to see things his way, to follow however shakily in his footsteps. Perhaps we can have a look at this prayer. It's the Methodist Covenant Prayer, hopefully. Nope, that's the other one. 3 years ago, nearly 3 years ago, I stood here and made promises to the church. I don't remember precisely what those promises were, but I'm sure they were about keeping close to God, supporting and blessing the church as I became its pastor, and ensuring that we committed to loving one another. I wonder if this morning we might take our faith afresh and anew. This covenant prayer is a challenge, and I wonder whether at the beginning of this new year we might say it to God and to one another. And so as we look at this covenant prayer created by the Methodist Church, I wonder what jumps out at you. What might you find easy to say? What might you find more difficult to say? What things might God be asking you to stop or to continue? What new thing might God place in your life? If you want to say this prayer with me, please do. I am no longer mine, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. May God give us the strength to follow him, not out of a business contract form of understanding, but through a deep relationship, by means of grace, through which we accept what God offers and then seek to sustain it. May our commitment to God, uncomfortable and challenging though it might be, enable each one of us to become deeper disciples of Jesus and closer brothers and sisters here at Main Street. Amen.